Do you have any misconceptions? What do we mean by conception? Well, how does conception take place in the natural? First of all, there's a sperm or seed from a man. It enters into the womb of the woman and mixes with an egg, and it produces an offspring of some sort. If there's birth control there, this may not even happen. Let's take that to the spirit realm. To conceive a thought, it's an idea or a word, an impression that enters not into the womb, but into the mind of a human being and mixes with our faith. And it produces some type of a conception, some type of an offspring of idea. Birth control in the spirit realm would be discernment. We're not born with discernment. Discernment means the ability to tell the difference between two things. Discernment is something that God wants to teach us, how to discern between good and evil so that we don't have any misconceptions in our mind, particularly when it comes to God. Misconception is a term that we use to describe the result of a mental process, taking into our mind wrong information or misinformation and believing it. Some childhood misconceptions that many of us had were that the moon was made out of green cheese, that Santa Claus is a real man that lives at the North Pole. How about that tooth fairy? Maybe an Easter bunny? Ooh, a familiar one is the boogeyman might get you if you don't watch out. Another misconception is that the stork delivers babies. And a famous one is, and they both lived happily ever after. Well, let's look in the Bible and find some ideas of conception, because the scriptures do talk about the word being conceived and also the fact that it's part of a mental process. Let's go to Isaiah 59:13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. In this scripture, it is words that are conceived. Since it is words being conceived, the words are spirit, and the conception is also spirit realm. Thus, these words were not already in the heart or mind. They had to come from an outside source. They had to be placed into the mind for conception to take place. Jeremiah 49:30, "Flee, get you far off. Dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazor, saith the Lord. For Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you, and hath conceived a purpose against you." Here it is a purpose being conceived. A purpose is made up of words or thoughts, which are spirit, thus proving this to be a spirit realm conception within the mind. In order for a purpose or words to be conceived, the words have to come by way of an outside source and be placed within the mind. We're not born with words or purposes within our mind. They are taught to us, starting with the ABCs. Job 15:35, Psalm 7:14, and Isaiah 59:4, all very similar. They conceive mischief and bring forth vanity. He travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. It's stated here, they conceived mischief. Mischief is not something tangible. It's made up of words. Mischief is therefore in the spirit realm, made up of words. Conception is also then in the spirit realm. Thus, mischief is words that one has to have placed in their mind from an outside source. When these words are mixed with our faith, thought upon, they become conceived, and then they bring forth mischief. Isaiah 33:11 says, "Ye shall conceive chaff and bring forth stubble." There's no way that this could be applied in the natural. No physical woman could conceive physical chaff. This has to be applied spirit realm within the mind. The chaff, as we read in Jeremiah 23:28, which says, "What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord?" It's symbolic of false words or untruth. When an outside source plants the false words or untruth, chaff, within the mind, they're mixed with faith. Then conception takes place and chaff is conceived. Hosea 2:5 says, "Their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink." This scripture is definitely symbolic. The woman mentioned here is symbolic because she's married to God. God wasn't married to a physical woman. This, then, being spirit realm, proves also that the conception is spirit realm, and the children produced from this conception, the offspring, or thoughts, are spirit realm. The context of these scriptures also show this to be on the evil side, because the mother in this case is playing the harlot. The mother should be Holy Spirit within the minds of women and men of Israel. Their minds are the womb. False doctrines and ideas that they took in were not God's seeds. They were evil, strange seeds. This produced in their minds not God's offspring or God's thoughts, it produced Satan's offspring. Thus the Holy Spirit within their minds conceived false seeds or words, and it brought forth children, offspring, evil thoughts that were to Satan, instead of Holy Spirit children, offspring, or good thoughts produced to God. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The same understanding applies here with King David. It's not talking of something in the natural. It's not talking of his physical natural birth. His, or David's, spiritual father was God. His spiritual mother was the Holy Spirit in his mind that should have been intercoursing with God's seeds or God's laws. But when David looked on the woman called Bathsheba, he was enticed by an adulterous thought. Instead of blocking the thought with God's true seeds, such as, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," or "Thou shalt not covet," the Holy Spirit in David's mind played the harlot. It conceived the adulterous thought and brought forth sin in his mind. He acted out physically on that sin and had physical intercourse with her. That wasn't the end of it. His Holy Spirit was further enticed with another evil thought to have her husband killed. Instead of fighting it off with God's true seeds, such as, "Thou shalt not kill," "Thou shalt not steal," his Holy Spirit also conceived with this evil idea and produced another sin in his mind, which he then acted on physically. These are the two sins David is pleading to God to cover with mercy. And once again, the conception spoken of in this particular verse is spirit realm within the mind. It is not referring to David's physical birth. Acts 5:4 says, "Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." The thing that was conceived in Ananias' heart or mind was a lie. A lie is made up of words or thoughts. Since the thing, the lie, is spirit realm, then the conception is also spirit realm. This shows that this lie, words or thoughts, was not already in Ananias' mind. It had to come from an outside source. It was placed in his mind. Just like we had, remember at the beginning, that a sperm is placed in the womb of the woman and mixes with the egg to produce a conception. Words come into our mind, mix with our faith, and produce a conception. In verse 3 of this chapter in Acts, Peter had said, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" That shows the source of the evil seeds. It was Satan. Instead of fighting Satan off with God's true seeds, such as, "Thou shalt not bear false witness," "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," Ananias took in Satan's seeds. They conceived, and it brought forth sin, transgression of God's law. James 1:15 says, "Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." This scripture states, it is lust that is conceived. Lust is desire, and it's spirit realm. So conception, in this case, is once again spirit realm. It's when the wrong words are conceived within someone's mind that sin occurs, and then death following that sin. As we read in 1 Timothy 5:6, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." And Ephesians 2:1 speaks of being dead in sins. For words to be conceived, they have to come from an outside source and be placed in our mind. Romans 1:20 says we have a visible picture that God has given to understand this. God always gives visible pictures to understand his spiritual things. A woman cannot become pregnant until a seed from an outside source is placed into her womb. That seed unites with the egg, and she conceives. The egg doesn't distinguish between a husband's sperm and a rapist's or that of an adulterer. The same picture holds true in the spirit realm. A person, a woman, cannot become pregnant with sin until a seed, a word, Luke 8:11, from an outside source is placed into the womb of the mind and is conceived. We are all born with God-given desires or lust for food, drink, love, understanding, and so forth. But without the discernment to know good from evil, our lust can be enticed by many different seeds. We have all conceived sin in this way while we were growing up. It's conclusive to say lust itself is not evil, but simply means desire. And sin is not already in us when we're born. It has to be conceived. So, sin is conceived by three steps. 1, a person has God-given lusts or desires. 2, that lust is enticed, tempted, or drawn away from God, as we read in James 1:14, by an outside source. And if it's sin that's being conceived, the outside source is something evil. 3, the wrong, enticing words or impressions or thoughts conceive with the lust in someone's mind, and sin is brought forth. Those scriptures show us that words, thoughts, or ideas have to be placed within someone's mind from an outside source, and then they conceive to produce after their kind. If it was a sinful thought in someone else's mind that gets sown to us, it will bring forth after its own kind. This proves we are not born with sin already in us. We are not born in sin. Evil enters into our mind, and sin is conceived. Since evil or sin enters into our minds, it can be cast out of our mind. And that's what the New Testament promises. We can be completely free from sin. Romans 6:22 and Colossians 2:13 both tell us that. This is done by conceiving God's true words in the womb of our mind. This forms a Christ child, as we read in Colossians 1:27, that we can have Christ in our mind. As the old man is discerned and cast out, the new man, the Christ child, can grow in our mind unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, as we read in Ephesians 4:13. Now, this may be a new idea for you, that we're not born in sin. It is a new idea for many people, also the idea that we can be free from sin in this life. So you have just heard what the Bible teaches regarding this idea of misconception and conception, being born in sin and being able to be free from sin. Are you willing to examine the beliefs that you've been taught and compare them to what the Bible teaches? This is a good and noble thing to do, as it tells us in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So as we have said before, don't take my word for it. Don't take anyone else's words for it. Take God's word for it.